Good afternoon. This is a meeting of the Cambridge License Commission. It's Wednesday, March 21st, 2018. It's 3:02 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, basement conference room. Before you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moratti-Ferrer, Brandel Bard, and Gerard Mahoney. First matter, disciplinary matter, Lamplighter Brewing Company, LLC, doing business as Lamplighter Brewing, holder of a malt-only pub brewery license at 284 Broadway, due to allegedly permitting a disorder, disturbance, or illegality on licensed premise, to wit, overcapacity, in violation of Mass General Laws, Chapter 138, Sections 23 and 64, rules and regulations of the City of Cambridge Board of License Commissioners, Rule 9.
Lamplighter?
Anyone who's going to testify in this matter, please raise your right hand. You want to testify?
Oh, sorry.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Please, gentlemen, you can come up this way. You may take a seat. Yes, thank you. If you could please state and spell your name for the record, that would be great.
My name is Andrew Jones, A-N-D-R-E-W Jones, J-O-N-E-S.
Thank you. Why don't we go from here to...
Captain Arsenal, Fire Prevention Office, Cambridge Fire Department.
Thank you.
Tyler Bubnick, Licensing Investigator with the Cambridge License Commission.
Thank you.
Deputy Chief Peter Donovan, Cambridge Fire Department, Fire Prevention Bureau.
Thank you.
Officer Benny Zito, S-Z-E-T-O, with the License Commission.
Great, thank you. Why don't, I don't know, Captain, you want to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
So just before we get into it, roughly a little bit about the building. There are two rooms in Lamplighter Brewing. There's a front room and a back room, and they're joined by a hallway, so you can think about it as being approximately in a U shape. Now the front room has a capacity up. We got a floor plan here.
If you'd like it, I was going to read this off, but if you'd like to look at it.
I think I have a book. Why don't we just go?
So they're joined by a hallway. You can think about it as kind of like a U-shape. The front room has a maximum capacity of 120 people. The back room has a maximum capacity of 80 people. So during a task force inspection on February 9th, we did a head count. Count of the front room by Deputy Fire Chief Donovan showed that there were 96 patrons in the front room, which is below the 120 permitted. The back room is counted by Officer Benny Zito and Investigator Andrea Boyer, and they found 129 people in the back room. So that was 49 people over the maximum capacity of 80 in the back room. Additionally, if you take that 129, you add it to the 96 from the front room, that's a total of 225, which is 25 over the total capacity of 200 for the premise.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So, not to disagree, but that's actually not our understanding of how the capacity worked.
So why don't we have the rest of the city staff, and then go ahead, Captain.
I was just assistant, so I was working behind.
Okay.
As part of our task force inspection, we conducted an inspection at that location on the 9th of February. We thought that there was a possibility that it was overcrowded. Myself and Officer Zito, we did a clicker, count by clicker, and we came up with 225. We also noticed and advised the manager that there was coats in one of the emergency egress coat racks and coats hanging all along the hallway, the exit passageway, and we asked them to have those coats removed and have the coat hangers removed, and we'd re-inspect in 7 days. We also had concern about the curtain. In one of the rooms, we asked for the flame certificates, was unable to produce those, but we did produce those at a later time to Captain Osmelt. On re-inspection of, just read my notes here, on the 16th of February, exit passageway was clear, coats, hooks removed, curtains are sprayed, and they submitted the search to us.
The only thing I want to add is, I guess the back room was over capacity because they had a big screen TV which had the Olympics on, so I guess everybody wanted to watch the Olympics, so that's the reason why that was.
I think it was opening night.
Yeah. So that's something I want to add. Other than that.
Mr. Mahoney?
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you? Are you here to testify on the lamplighter?
Yes.
Okay. Lamplighter's
raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, due to the fact that the back room had recently been opened, and with the what Ben had said, with the Olympics being on, the flow was never determined on the total capacity of the entire establishment, which kind of threw off what could be in the rear and what could be in the front, which has now been fixed. We have it situated where the capacity in the back is at one and the capacity at the front is another, with a total capacity of the establishment. So, with guys doing the counting from going from the front to the rear, I can easily see it being where it's a lot easier to be able to be controlled now.
So at the time when this happened, had they been given a capacity of more than 80 in the back room?
I don't know the exact number offhand.
I do.
Was it 80?
May I?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we built it and when we submitted the documents, we did not consider them to be two separate rooms and didn't submit them for two separate occupancies. Our understanding was that they were considered one room with a capacity of 200. And that was on our licensing, that's how it looked. It just said on the front a capacity of 200. There was no breakdown between the two. So there was no 120 up front and 80 in the back.
That's what had kind of thrown it all off.
That was our understanding, whether that we had never had anything that said the back room has a capacity of X. So I went back to our architects after this happened to determine what it was. And actually that document there is the submission from our architect that got it down. So our capacity of 200 is limited by our toilet fixtures. The space is actually large enough and has sufficient fire exits, sprinklers, et cetera, to accommodate about 300 people. So the total sum of the capacity in the back and the front, if you disregard the toilet thing, is 160 in the front and 130 in the back for a capacity of 135. For a capacity of 295, which from fire exits, doors, egress, et cetera, with, again, those are written down on that paper, can accommodate those too. But because we have too few men's toilets, we can't actually have that many people in there. So it's less a fire safety cap as it is a toilet cap.
The zoning, yeah.
Right. So the way that we have this now after working with Inspector McMahon is the front space has a safe capacity of 160. The back space has a safe capacity of 130. However, we can't let more than 200 people into the building total, but their distribution in there is less strict than it would be otherwise, because it would just be incredibly difficult because of the location of the bathroom to say only 100 people can be in back and 100 people in front because of the flow in between, and also because there's no requirement from a fire safety standpoint that says that has to be the case.
However, in terms of the floor plan that we approved when this first got built, you have the total seats in the front and standing. So you have 120 total in the front room, and then you have it separate in the rear with 80, and that's where the difference comes into.
Oh, interesting.
And that's where you get it to 100. So
okay.
That was the floor plan that you submitted to this board and that this board approved, and that are the numbers that all of these persons were using during task force that night.
That makes sense, because then there was some disconnect, because the final document that we got, and actually I didn't know that that was submitted that way, is that the document we had just said 200 and on the total there. So that was a miscommunication on our part with our architect.
This is 118. That's what I don't understand.
There has definitely also been some confusion along this whole process with how many seats there can be. We had one that said we had an occupancy of 75 seats, which is not correct. There was a couple of times where this document has been a bit muddled that we've been trying to figure out over the past year.
When did you open?
We opened a year ago. We opened this a year and a couple months ago, last November. We opened this backspace 3 days before the inspection.
Okay, because plan submitted is dated 2/1/18. plan in this folder, signed by an engineer, stamped by an engineer, is dated 2/1/18, and it delineates front, I think it's tap room and tasting room, does that sound right?
I don't think, we call the back one just the back tap room. I'm not sure what the architect did there. It would be the same guy who I just had, we had
because it hadn't been
one.
Built yet.
Well, this is, yeah, but yeah. This is dated 2/1/18.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks like somebody reworked it for him. What
front tasting room, front tasting room, rear tap room.
Everything has a date on it.
Sure.
Yeah, and then in September 11 of 2017, which is when the alteration was approved, it was stated that you needed to submit an amended certificate of inspection to reflect the changes in the occupancy and all that jazz. And then that's when we get your changes when you finally finish the work and your floor plan with the...
Gotcha. So then I guess after the fact, after this inspection, when we realized that the breakdown between the two of them would be difficult to control and also seemed to be unnecessary based on it being safe for that many people to be in either room, we had them redrawn and resubmitted, and that went through inspectional services, but I guess that has not gone to you guys, which of course it should have.
Okay. And now I do have the new certificate of inspection, and maybe you can confirm since you're here. And then this would be, can you give that to Brian? That's the current state of the certificate of inspection for ISD, where they have a total occupancy of 200 and sort of safe, what did you call them?
Fire safe, I don't know.
Fire safe numbers on each.
I wouldn't consider that back room to have 200 people in it.
No, it has 130. No,
but you said either room could handle both of the total occupancy.
Sorry if I said that's mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's a, so at worst, yep. So we could have 130 people in the back, but then we wouldn't be allowed to have more than 70 people in the front because we couldn't go over the 200.
I was just clarifying that.
Yeah, sorry, if
back room
I said that wasn't
all the 200.
Right, yeah. No, yeah,
no.
Exactly.
No, that's not good.
And I think this is where it's updated.
I think the commissioner has the most recent.
That's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's his copy.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Our copy.
But regardless, there were too many people in the space as a whole, which is a management fault on my part. I'd like to apologize for that. That should not have happened.
And how are you keeping count that night, or were you keeping count that night?
We were supposed to have been keeping count that night, and my door guy did indeed have a clicker. It's a little unclear when I spoke to... Actually, I walked into the building. Was not the manager on duty. I'm one of the owners. Walked into the building and saw through the back window that it looked a bit crowded and was in the process of counting myself, when one of my staff members came up and said that the commission was here, and went up front, and then we had this conversation, but we were in the process of saying, oh, this is too full, what happened, let's get people out of here. And when I talked to my door guy, he said something along the lines of, you know, it didn't look like my count was accurate because there wasn't enough people up front, not thinking to himself, like, oh, this means a lot of people could have jammed themselves in the back, and I don't really know what to say about that one, to be quite honest.
So if I remember the space correctly, when you walk in, you're sort of in the front room, and then you go through a door, and then you go to the back. Is that how you guys have it now?
So if you're going, if you enter the front door, you've got the bar in front of you,
yep,
in the kitchen. You take a right to go down the hallway by the bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep going now. There used to be a door there. Instead, it's just open, and you walk into the next room.
Okay, so how are you, or what changes have you made? Mm-hmm. Because regardless of this change, and provided that we approve this change,
yep,
you need to make sure that you keep a count on both areas.
Yep.
And your front guy can't see both areas.
No, he can't.
He or she can see who's coming in and keep that count.
That's correct.
But who is where and the amounts of each, how are you making sure that you don't have the issue that you had this night?
So we've done two things. One, it's it's a fairly easy to see when the ratio has skewed that dramatically. 130 people in the back and 70 in the front is visibly obvious. The front is, that means it's half empty up front. We have put, it, for the days after this happened, we put a person with a clicker on the back just to make sure that people going in and out of that weren't going over. When we were full at 200, we never had more than 105 people in the back. It's a bit smaller, so that seems to be good. The other thing we've changed is we won't put on any event in the back that's not also in the front. That seems to have been the impetus of this issue, is people having some option in the back that they didn't have in the front space. Honestly, the skewing tends to be much more dramatically towards the front than it does in the back. And so what we've done is made sure that managers, myself, on the hour are counting and recounting both rooms. Seems to be the most efficient way to do so. And then if we get even close in either one, we usually just stop totally on the door until it separates itself, whether we're at 200 or not. And then if it's something where we're close in the back, we put someone on there to make sure that that doesn't go over. That hasn't actually happened since. We've never gotten over 110 because it just starts feeling pretty full and there's a lot of room up front. But we are certainly very aware of it at this point.
What's the disciplinary history?
So they opened in, the license was issued in November of 2016. And they have no disciplinary issues. With that said, however, I think based on the numbers of that night, what they were licensed for, the lack of keeping count and everything, I would issue a one-day suspension.
With a nominal fine.
A warning.
A warning, yeah.
That would be more in line with the commission, a warning and a fine, as opposed to a suspension.
We can't really fine them.
A warning, right?
Oh, not a warning.
Okay.
Well, one day to be held in abeyance for 6 months. A warning.
I'm agreeable to that.
So a violation, 1 day held in abeyance for 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You will receive a statement of reasons. We have had a violation with a one-day suspension to be held in abeyance for 6 months.
I'm sorry, I'm not 100% clear on what that means.
Yep. Go ahead.
So that means that you've been found guilty of a violation, issued a one-day suspension, but you won't have to serve it as long as no other violations occur within that six-month period.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I'd just like to say that I can guarantee you this will never happen again.
With that said, I would suggest that we decide now whether we agree with these numbers and whether we would amend the license accordingly.
Yeah, I think we need to take a look at this.
Okay.
Toilet, you know, this plumbing thing versus fire safety. I mean,
the occupancy is based on the amount of toilets as well.
Yeah.
So it's always the lesser of the two, I would assume.
I'm sorry?
It's always the lesser of the two, I would assume.
Right.
Fire safety trumps toilets, but if toilets are lower than fire safety, you go with the toilet number, right?
Right, but the last plan submitted was done by an architectural count based on the square footage. Like it was indicated, the facility is large enough to hold more people than it is.
And it's only restricted because of the amount of laboratories available.
Yeah. Correct. The place is safe.
Could they add lavatories?
If we could add one more men's toilet, we could increase the count by an additional 50 people, I think. We just don't have anywhere to put it. Is the current issue. I would love
and
to.
And I guess
that.
You can't add it.
Yeah, it would solve a lot of issues for me. But
Get a porta potty.
Yeah, just getting we added two additional women's toilets in order to get this room approved at all, and it was a nightmare. Yeah.
I understand. You're kind of landlocked. I think maybe the board needs to have a conversation with ISD recently.
Okay. So we'll decide the the changing of the capacity to reflect the numbers on the ISD certificate for next week on the 28th. That will give us time.
Is that something you'd like me to attend?
No. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Gustavo Cuban Cafe LLC, doing business as Gustavo Cuban Cafe, has applied for a common victualler all alcohol license at 2067 Mass Ave. Patricia Estorino was proposed manager of record of a premise described as approximately 2,927 square feet on street level with one dining room, bar, and kitchen, approximately 4,260 square feet on lower level with two dining rooms, bar, auxiliary kitchen, and storage, patio seating on public property. Proposed hours of operation are 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 7 days per week, and closed between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Adolfo de la Vega, A-D-O-L-F-O, three words, D-E, space, L-A, space, V-E-G-A.
Thank you. And your relation to the...
Business partner and husband.
I'm sorry, what?
Business partner and husband.
Okay. And your name?
Patricia, P-A-T-R-I-C-A, Estorino, E-S-T-O-R-I-N-O.
Thank you. And, okay, so Mr. De La Vega, do you have a beneficial interest in the license?
No, I mean, no.
No, I only asked because you mentioned that you were a business partner and your and the husband, which is perfectly fine. But the application submitted only has Ms. Estorino as the as the beneficial interest holder of the license. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay. And then we know that there have been some kinks with the way that when you enter your ABCC application, especially if you have more than one last name, it sometimes cuts it off or switches it. So I have various names for you, and I just want to confirm which one would be the appropriate one. Is it, are you the same person, I'm assuming, as Patricia Lojos?
Yes.
And Patricia Estorino Lojos Lojos?
No,
yeah,
no.
Yes. But that would not be...
Okay.
So,
so what's your name?
Patricia Estorino Lojos.
Okay. Estorino Lojos. There we go. And you are the only beneficial interest holder in the license, and you are the proposed manager of record as well.
Correct.
Okay. And you are currently the manager of record on at your restaurant in Waltham?
Mm-hmm.
And you have had no disciplinary issues with the ABCC or the local board there? I need to hear the answer.
No.
Thank you. And are you up to date with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol?
Yes.
And can you tell us what is the public need for this license at this location?
What is the public need?
What is the public need? Why should we grant you a license?
I don't believe we have many Cuban restaurants in Cambridge. I think it will be a welcome addition from that perspective. I think it will fill a void in terms of the culinary option.
Are you going in the space that was formerly the restaurant space in that building?
Yes. Is that Elephant Walk?
Right.
And this will be a pretty big operation compared to your Waltham operation, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
For those that are not familiar with your operation in Waltham, do you want to tell us a little bit about Gustavo?
Yeah, we have been there since 2014, and we have 50 seats. We do have a full liquor license, but we don't have a bar, so we can't really fully use it. Have been hoping to expand, but that is...
And this location... if I remember correctly, did you guys start off as a regular CV in Belmont? Just a common victualler in Belmont with no alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
And then you moved to Waltham. And then now you're moving here. Are you keeping your Waltham operation and this operation?
For now, yes.
For now, yes.
Do you have a timeline on when you're going to plan on opening?
We hope to open in the summer. Depends on the
summer, or maybe July or September, depending on how...
Work has not yet, has work commenced yet on the space?
We haven't done anything.
Do you plan to do a build-out or just clean up of the space?
Mostly a remodeling, yes.
And then if I understood this application correctly, this would be with proposed capacity of 253 seats inside?
That's the current, or the former application.
Yes.
And then you have a total of 16 seats in the patio?
Yes.
Is that patio on public property?
Yes.
Do you intend to serve alcohol there on the patio seats?
I believe
so.
Okay. If you do get approved, to be able to serve alcohol on those seats in the patio, you need to submit yourselves to a different process as well that needs to be approved by the city manager and city council. Mrs. Sorino Lojos, are you TIPS or 21 proof certified? So you intend to be open for lunch and dinner, is that correct?
Yes.
And do you intend to have an entertainment license other than background music?
Yes.
What kind of entertainment?
We would like to have live music
we were
hoping to have we've been wanting to do this for a long time and just didn't have the space for it, but we really wanted to have like jazz trios and certain things, Cuban music, and not like a dancing entertainment, but more like a something to listen to while dining. Yes.
And do you have a lease for the space?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have it with you?
No, I don't. I thought it was in the package.
I have a letter of intent.
I need a
copy of the lease, because the letter of intent that I have basically says that it's not binding.
So
I need the lease.
No, I was just wondering why you do a letter of intent if it doesn't force you to act on it.
Okay. So, I think that's it. With regard to your entertainment, because you want live music, we need to make sure that the area is zoned for it. We need you to submit the application,
mm-hmm.
And get zoning sign-off to make sure that what you're looking for specifically is zoned for it.
Yeah, we kind of assumed for some reason that it was included, and then at the time that I realized that it was not included, I had already, you know, I was submitting this application, so I didn't want to delay it, so I thought of doing that after.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine. But just don't wait too long so that you can, if we approve it and the ABCC approves it and you're ready to open, then you have everything
mm-hmm.
all squared away with regard to that. Anyone in favor of this petition? Please come on up and state your name.
Hello, I'm David Cagle.
And you're supporting this?
Because I love Cuban food, and I'm familiar with their other places, and I love new small business owners in Cambridge.
Excellent, thank you.
Melissa Chamness?
Melissa, I'm sorry, how do I spell your last name?
C-H-A-M-N-E-S-S.
Thank you.
I've been a long-time resident of Cambridge and Somerville. I've been in the restaurant business for 12 years. I've only worked for small business owners, and I would welcome them into our community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. So I would just... I would vote to grant and just hold off on sending this so that we can get a copy of that lease so that we can submit it with the ABCC. I wouldn't vote on the entertainment. And I would just make sure that our staff knows that once we receive the lease, that we send a note up to the ABCC that Patricia's name is Patricia Sorino Lobos.
I have folk. We...
Spanish name.
I get it. That would be my vote.
I concur.
Okay. Granted.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And you will probably get an email from Mr. O'Neill reminding you to send him the lease. Thank you.
Thank you.
Application, Give 'Em Enough Rope, LLC, doing business as The Automatic, holder of a common victualler all alcohol license and entertainment license at 50 Hampshire Street, has applied to amend the entertainment license to include DJ and live musical instruments and or vocalists with amplification.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
I'm David Cagle, A-V-I-D-C-A-G-L-E.
Thank you.
Melissa Chamness, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, C-H-A-M-N-E-S-S.
Thank you. Okay. Now, I'm assuming you already know this, but your application went through IASB zoning, and they said that in this area, they could only allow for zoning purposes entertainment, live entertainment only once a week, so that would mean a DJ once a week or live musical instruments or vocalist once
sure.
a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're aware of that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's great. It's more of a special occasion thing for us. So.
So why don't you tell us why you need this? And
we've gotten a couple of one-day licenses for special events, and it's just like been hugely successful. A lot of our staff are musicians and artists, so it just kind of goes along with the whole restaurant community thing. Lots of restaurant people are also musicians. It just kind of aligns with what we're doing already, you know, having no desire at all to own a rock club, just to have something to enhance a slow Sunday or Monday in the wintertime.
Okay. And then, just as a confirmation, the hours would be in line with the current hours of operation, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have a letter of support from Councillor Toomey.
Okay, anyone in favor of this petition? And then I'll just note for the record, Councillor Toomey's support. Anyone in opposition to this petition? Do you have an opposition, Ms. Courtney?
I'm sorry?
Do you have an opposition?
No.
Oh, thank you. And, okay, I see that you would have the DJ... So are you removing these seats if you put the band there?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's kind of, that back area will basically just be empty because the musicians will kind of be like at the front of that area.
Okay. I would vote to grant. Okay, granted. And I'm just going to put a note here with the same hours of operation as on the current license, only because I believe that on your application you put 11:30 a.m. as the start time, but you have an 11 a.m. opening hour.
Sure.
I just want to make it uniform and clear.
That makes sense to me.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you.
For the
I know, thank you.
Through the portal. Thank you for getting a hold of me. You guys have a good day.
Application Colwyn Management Incorporated, doing business as Fairfield Inn and Suites. Holder of an all alcohol hotel license at 209-215 Monsignor O'Brien Highway has applied for change of manager to David Michael Laurent.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Yep, David Laurent, General Manager, Fairfield Inn, Cambridge.
Rashi Manglit, R-A-S-H-I, M-A-N-G-A-L-I-C-K.
Chris Moulton, C-H-R-I-S, M-O-U-L-T-O-N.
Thank you. And Mr. Laurent, you have been the manager on a liquor license before, but not in Massachusetts? Or yes, in Massachusetts?
Yes, in Massachusetts.
Okay. So I only ask that because the way that it's answered in the ABCC application, it sounds like you have been the manager of record, but not somewhere issued by this commission. And when they ask about commissions, they're talking about the ABCC commission. But
can I clarify where? Oh, I see. That should be the manager of record in Needham.
Okay, so Needham. And is that an in-holder license there?
Correct.
An in-holder and alcohol license?
Yes.
And are you up to date with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regards to sales, service of alcohol, and the running of an in-holder license?
Yes.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
I do.
Okay. Are you TIPS or 21-proof certified?
Yes.
And you have had no disciplinary issues with the ABCC or Needham?
I have not.
Question? Okay, I would vote to grant.
Granted,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Administrative matters. Yep. Tim Stein, on behalf of Brookline Bank, has notified the License Commission that Medallion 249A has satisfied their loan agreement with the bank and the lien has been released.
It's actually 252A. Board acknowledged.
And Tim Stein, on behalf of Brookline Bank, has notified the commission that Medallion 257G has satisfied their loan agreement.
Board acknowledged.
Commonwealth Restaurant has advised the commission that although they generally close at 10 p.m., they would like to keep their permitted closing hour at 1 a.m. for occasions when they have private events. This had come up as a result of a task force inspection.
So we have Rule 6.1,
which
says that the official opening and closing hours are those that are designated on the license issued by the board. Licenses are granted to serve the public, and therefore licensees are expected to operate in accordance with the terms and hours of each of the issued licenses. Now, in the past, this had come up, and it comes up in various ways, and one of the things that the board had discussed was whether or not people have to strictly operate within those hours. My sense has always been that if the business posts clearly either on their door or their website, and if they have both, obviously on both, what their operation, you know, what their hours are, that it is sufficient to comply with that rule. Previous commissioners on both of my sides have had different takes on that rule, so, but I think businesses should be granted the flexibility, and I know some of them do this a lot, where they realize that, you know, they're not having good Mondays and they end up just closing on Mondays, and then, you know, summer comes around and they open on Mondays and change up their stuff. I think we should grant this, acknowledge this and grant this, and I think we should keep an open mind in terms of what this comes up, and I think it should only be an issue if, for example, we grant, say, a 24-hour operation, and it's never operating as a 24-hour, and then at that point we have to figure out whether or not we should change the hours and do this on a case-by-case basis rather than taking a hard line that people can only do what we tell them to do.
I agree.
Okay. So, acknowledged and granted.
Why don't you just change the rule then?
We're not taking public comment, thank you.
The Board of License Commissioners will discuss whether to create new rules and regulations for self-driving taxi cabs.
So I think this is a little premature. Self-driving vehicles for commercial purposes are way, way out there, it appears. I do understand that there is an MOU that may be signed by the City of Cambridge with the state and MassDOT with regard to testing of self-driving vehicles. So I think, you know, at this point, we should just wait for those testing be conducted, and if the MOU signed is signed, and if we get to the point where self-driving vehicles are being used for commercial purposes, then we can consider it. I think at this point it's a little premature.
I would agree, based on the safety issues that have been raised even in the past several days regarding these vehicles.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. Next.
Board of License Commissioners will consider waiving.
Oh, wait. We have. So, with regard to Mr. Sassine's question, I would just say no changes at this time.
Board of License Commissioners will consider waiving renewal fees for existing medallions and Hackney drivers for fiscal year 2019.
I think based on the current state of the taxi industry and in consideration of what we've done for the last two fiscal years, I think we should once again waive the renewal fees for existing medallions and for existing Hackney drivers. Not for liveries, however.
I concur with that.
I agree.
Himalayan Arts and Crafts, 8 Bow Street, was approved for a secondhand goods antiques license on July 25th. 2017 investigation revealed that the license is not needed as they only sell new items.
There were a couple of inspections. It is correct. They only serve new items, so I would say acknowledged and license canceled.
Did they not, did the business plan change? I mean, they applied for a second hand?
I think they took over an existing business that mm-hmm. was selling secondhand goods.
Okay.
And so the way that it was represented at the hearing, which is why we postponed this a few times and did a couple of inspections. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Okay. Acknowledged and license canceled.
Tamale Incorporated, doing business as Charlie's Kitchen and the Red House, holder of a common victualler all alcohol license at 10 Elliott Street, has applied for a change to their entertainment license to include karaoke on Tuesdays from 10 p.m. until 12:30 a.m. and trivia Sunday and Wednesdays from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m.
They only have they already have live entertainment, so this was sort of the cleanup as mm-hmm. that was noticed after renewal granted.
Museum Market has notified the commission that they ceased operating on February 25th, 2018.
And for the record, this is a holder of an all-alcohol package store license, and they sent us a letter saying that they've ceased operating and they've hired a broker that will assist them in the sale of their package store license. So as is a board acknowledged.
What was their address?
They are at 12 Museum Way.
One Broadway Donuts, LLC, doing business as Dunkin' Donuts, holder of a common victualler license at 1 Broadway, 383rd Street, is requesting to relocate the existing CV from the 1 Broadway side of the building to the 3rd Street side of the building, and the address there is 383rd Street.
Granted. Acknowledged and granted.
Cupcake City, LLC, doing business as Cupcake City, has applied for a hawker peddler license to be exercised on Tuesdays at 3rd and Binney Streets from April 2nd through November 23rd, 2018. So this one, the woman called me earlier today, and she advised that she has the inspections with fire and health scheduled, and both fire and health told her that she needed to apply for the license first, which
she
is really...
She has her inspection form.
She told me she didn't, so...
It's with the packet. What is wrong about the agenda is that this is on Thursdays, not on Tuesdays.
Ah.
But the inspection...
Then she was mistaken.
The inspection is there, and everything else is
there. That fire sign-off has already been done?
Yeah. Yes, sir?
Perhaps she's confused.
I wonder if she forgot she had a phone.
That's scary. That's why, because she'll have to get it done again, but she's good through the end of her license cycle.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Granted.
Gurbani Jasmine, doing business as Tandoor and Curry on Wheels, has applied for a hawker peddler license on Wednesdays at 3rd and Binney Streets from April 4th through November 24th, 2018.
Granted.
Frozen Hoagies, LLC, doing business as Frozen Hoagies, has applied for a hawker peddler license on Sundays for the Cambridge Flea.
So their letter, their approval letter, is for Saturdays and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I believe, based on when we first received this, that this was submitted before the approval letter was sent in. So I would approve, but I would make it clear that it's for Saturday and Sunday at North Point Education Circle from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay.
Frozen Hoagies?
Yep. Okay.
Al Vator on behalf of John Moriarty and Associates has applied for a special noise variance on March 23rd through March 25th, 2018, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m.
So this
and, yes, and we have numerous emails changing the dates.
Yeah, they changed them because of the last two snowstorms. They've been delayed. They were going to change it for the last weekend in March, but due to Easter, they have requested for it to be changed for April 6th to April 8th. And the other departments were okay with those dates, so I would vote to grant.
6 to 8?
Yep.
Kyle Clayson, on behalf of Hallamore, has applied for a special noise variance on March 31st, 2018, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. at 150 Binney Street for hoisting.
I vote to grant.
Chad Bennett, on behalf of John Moriarty and Associates, has applied for a special noise variance from April 9th through April 15th from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. at 88 Ames Street.
I would vote to grant with the condition that they must obtain a Sunday work permit from Cambridge Police Department.
Firebox LLC, doing business as Amigos Locos, has applied for a Hawker Peddler license to vend as part of the food truck pilot program.
And to be clear, this is for Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Cambridge Port, Sydney and Erie Street, and subject to making monthly payments to traffic and parking and transportation for the special permit. That's how the letter from the Director of Traffic, Parking, and Transportation for the permit to allow them to event in public way was issued. So I would vote to grant, with obviously those conditions granted.
Taco Party LLC has applied for a Hawker Peddler license to vend at Sydney and Erie Streets as part of the food truck pilot program.
And again, this was this is only for Mondays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Cambridge Port, Sydney, and Erie Street, and subject to making the monthly payments to traffic and parking and transportation for the special permit to vend on the public way. So I would grant with those conditions.
Kim Graffio has advised the commission that they have closed K2 Cafe at 500 Kendall.
Board acknowledge. Close file and cancel license.
And then minutes from January 24th, 2018.
Vote to approve. I think this is just for you and me because Commissioner Bullock isn't there.
Somewhere in that file, I gave you my add-on list.
Okay.
So, yes. So when I get there, I don't have it.
Okay.
Jim Worcester has applied for an entertainment license on Palmer Street between the two Harvard Coops beside Club Passine on June 21 and 28, July 5, 12, 19, and 26, August 2, 9, 16, 23, and 30. September 6th from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., July 8th from 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. for a concert with recorded music, recorded live music and amplification.
Granted.
Peter DeVito has applied for an entertainment license at Cambridge Side Place on August 5th from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. for run and ride with dancing, music, amplification system.
Granted. I'm sorry for the other one, police detail required.
And the one at Cambridge Site Place went through special events. Preston Hollis has applied for a malt license to be exercised at the Cambridge Masonic Hall, 1950 Mass Ave, on April 28th from 1:30 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. for a fundraiser.
I would vote to grant with the condition that there must be a limited number of drinks associated with the admission charge, otherwise alcohol must be sold.
Aliza Shaquille has applied for a malt and wine license to be exercised at the Student Organization Center at Hills, 59 Shepherd Street, on April 14th from 6 to 10 p.m. for a benefit. Atta Ampansa has applied for an entertainment license at Northwest Labs, 52 Oxford Street, on March 24th from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. for a banquet. Damian Ferrant has applied for an entertainment license to be exercised at Student Organization at Hills, 59 Shepherd Street, on March 24th from 6 to 9 p.m. for a banquet. Paul Shannon has applied for an entertainment license at Cambridge Common, 1500 Mass Ave, on April 14th from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. for a rally with an amplification system, also approved by special events.
Got the permit for the event. Well, we have the application. Have we gotten their permit, their actual permit?
I would have to check.
Which one is that?
The Paul Shannon. So I would defer on this one until we get the permit.
I believe it is.
Hemp fest?
It might be.
Marijuana.
Doesn't say.
John Prince has applied for a wine license to be exercised at Annenberg Hall, 45 Quincy Street, on April 8th from 10:30 a.m. until 2 p.m. for a senior class brunch.
Granted.
Bianca Rodriguez has applied for an entertainment license to be exercised at Student Organization.
This was actually withdrawn. They canceled the event.
Ah. Melissa Santizo has applied for an entertainment license to be exercised at Student Organization Center at Hills, 59 Shepherd Street, on April 6th from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. for a party. Joel Bartler has applied for an entertainment license at Science Center Lecture Hall, B1 Oxford Street, on April 14th from 8 to 9:30 p.m. for a comedy show. Daniel Fu has applied for malt and wine entertainment and peddler's licenses to sell shirts and dance supplies at Northwest Labs for a competition. Matt Curtis has applied for a malt and wine with entertainment license at 41 Church Street on April 29th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. for a road race with music and amplification system, also approved by special events.
I would grant with the condition that a limited number of drinks associated with a race registration, otherwise the alcohol must be sold and police detail required.
Jorge Gonzalez has applied for a malt and wine with entertainment license at MIT, 142 Memorial Drive, on March 24th from 7:30 to 11:59 p.m. for a fundraiser with an amplification system.
And the police detail required.
Quantum Way has applied for a malt and wine license at MIT Morse Hall on March 22nd from 6 to 8:30 p.m. for a science arts festival.
And the police detail required.
Charlie Moore, on behalf of Turner Construction, has applied for a special noise variance from April 1 through June 1, 2018, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. weekdays only at 145 Broadway.
Please this is the same one that they submitted today that we told them that we'd vote on the 28th.
That's interesting because I got this last week.
Yeah, it's exactly the same one.
That's strange.
I would wait to vote on this on the 28th, one because we told them in two, because then it can be on the agenda. And it's not until April 1st, they can wait.
Farhad Dokhani, on behalf of the Harvard Iranian Student Organization, has applied for a one-day entertainment license on March 25th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. for a party.
Granted, please detail required.
Kevin Bowen, on behalf of Special Olympics of Massachusetts, has applied for a one-day alcohol and entertainment license at the Masonic Hall on March 22nd from 4 to 9 p.m. for a fundraiser.
Branson.
Robert Blair, on behalf of Health Incorporated, doing business as People's Republic, has applied for a one-day entertainment license on March 25th, April 29th, and June 24th from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. for a live five-piece band. Kyle Clayson, on behalf of Hallamore Corporation, has applied for a special noise variance from April 4th through 15th from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Saturdays at 300 Bent Street.
Again, the 28th. We can vote on that the 28th, and it can be on the agenda. Right, because this is for April 4th?
Yep.
Yeah. And then there's something here as well. I mean, there's one here for the 31st and April 1st. I mean, is it the same one?
All I know is they had a note asking me to put it on today.
28.
Chris Shaughnessy has applied for a special noise variance on March 24th from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. at Bay Street, 1000 Mass Ave.
Tyler, did they give us the abutter notification?
Not yet. They're still working on that.
Denied. I would deny at this time.
Which one is that?
Different hours. That's my vote.
Alamo?
Or different days.
No, Shaughnessy.
Sorry. Yeah, this is for Bay Street at 1000 Mass Ave.
And they also have applied for the same day, same time at 931 Mass Ave.
Yeah, I mean the other departments have no issue with it. It's to get in and out without disturbing traffic flow, to replace the cooling tower and all that stuff. But I mean, they knew when they were going to do this. I mean, when did this come in, and they still haven't done the abutter notification?
They handed in a notification that wasn't up to standard, I would say.
Okay.
It was not fleshed out enough by the guidelines described in the third page of the application for a special noise variance.
Oh, this is the one that basically said that they had applied for a variance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I think...
They haven't notified the abutters, you can.
Yeah, so I'm a no on
both. Is it that they hadn't, and it was just insufficient?
Do you want to get us the notice?
Sure.
Thank you. We'll put a pin on it while he gets that. Let's go with the next.
Allison Caslow has applied for a one-day alcohol license on March 22nd from 6 to 9 p.m. at the MIT Media Lab.
Granted police detail.
And that is all I have.
We have also World Pedro Morales.
Right.
On behalf of World Music. At the Sanders Theater at Harvard University from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on March 23rd. Wine and malt license. We vote to grant. And I believe you all got a letter forwarded from an attorney with regard to an application that's on April 11th for a flammable license. It's from an attorney claiming that his client does not need the license. I would vote to forward this to the city solicitor for her review and advice on how to proceed on this.
I would concur. Concur.
Gentlemen, your vote on the Chris Shaughnessy matter.
If the abutters have not been notified in a timely manner.
I mean, this letter they sent to us on the 20th, I just don't think it's enough, and especially...
It's not enough. It's not sufficient.
I mean, they can start at 9 a.m. They don't have to start at 7.
Correct.
So if they want to really, if they really need to do it that day, they can do it at 9. But I just don't think it's enough notice... for, I mean, it's an entire condominium.
Right.
So. Okay, so denied as to both of the variances from Shaughnessy.